Let's give again this morning our careful hearing to the reading of God's holy and life-changing word as we hear it here in Psalm 71 together. In you, Lord, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts and your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. That is the word of God. There are two troubling trends that can often be found in the wasteland that has become the modern evangelical church in the West. These two trends seem to be at opposite ends of the spectrum. In other words, they seem to be polar opposites of one another, but they are actually very often inseparably tied together. On the one hand, many young people feel that a serious relationship with God is something that is just for old people. Religion is for the elderly and those who have nothing better to do with their lives. On the other hand, many older people feel that a lively and an exciting relationship with God is something for young people. Vibrant religion and religious experience is for the immature, who tend to get excited about everything. The tie between these two very wrong ideas about a relationship with God is that both seem to think that God and religion are only for a certain segment of society, a certain age group. But the point I want to make today, showing this from Psalm 71, is that God is a God for all ages. That is to say, engagement with Him is for all people of all ages at all times of their lives. Or said straightforwardly, relationship with God through Jesus Christ is for the very young and for the very old and for everybody in between. Now, as you know, as I've read through this psalm, it's a fairly long psalm with much more to consider than what we are going to look at this morning. But there are two things that I do want us to focus on today. And those two things that I want us to focus on this morning are what the psalmist says about his relationship with God when he was very young, and what he says about his relationship with God now that he is very old. This song, as I think was evident from just a reading of it, the song is a cry to God for deliverance and salvation from real trial, from a real assault from the enemy. And the first four verses bear this out very clearly. I want you to look at those again with me briefly. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. For you have given the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. The prayer for deliverance comes out very clearly right at the beginning of the psalm. But the prayer for deliverance actually picks up some steam. And if you look down at verse 10, it gathers some intensity and it adds some information and further details about the situation that the psalmist is in. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there's none to deliver him. Oh my God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and I will praise you yet more and more. The reason why I have us read those again is so that we can see that it is upon the background of the real trials of life. It's upon the background of the actual hardships of life and even some major persecution for the faith that the psalmist makes the statement, and this is our first point this morning, that the psalmist makes the statement that God is God of the young. It is upon that background of trial that he makes the statement that God is God of the young. Notice in verses 5 and 6 here, his affirmations of faith and hope in God from the very earliest days of his life. For you, O Lord, are my help, my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually to you. Now, a question that we need to ask at this point, and it is a bit of an irreverent question, but a question we need to ask at this point is whether or not this is even true. Is it really true that God was his hope and his trust from his youth? Now, some would say, well, that all depends upon the way that you define youth. And therefore, it's necessary that we see that the psalmist does define exactly what he means by youth. In verse 6, upon you I have leaned. In other words, upon you I have put my confidence and I have put my trust in you. From before my birth, you are he who took me from my mother's womb. Now again, we are confronted with the question of whether or not this can actually happen. Can this happen? Are we reading truth here in the Word of God? Is the psalmist singing of just his own very, very unique and solitary experience? Or was Psalm 71 appropriate for all of the Israelites to sing? Could all Israel join in singing this truth about having leaned upon the Lord from their birth, having been taken by Him from their mother's womb? Maybe even more pressing is the question of whether or not this is valid for us as Christians to sing today. Does this psalm express an abiding, unchanging truth? Is it about our new covenant relationships with God as believers today? Or is it something that was only going on in the Old Covenant? Was this only true of children in the Old Covenant? Because if this was only valid back then we have a significant problem in that the Old Covenant was then clearly better for children and young people than the New Covenant is. But in fact, the New Testament affirms that these same realities are true of New Covenant children as well. A few passages, if you're fast, you can turn there with me. If not, I'll try to read them clearly. I'm not going to wait for you on this. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. After taking into his arms a little child, Jesus says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." Matthew chapter 18, verse 6 is the parallel of this passage, and the Amplified Version has it, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledge and cleave to me." In fact, in Matthew chapter 21, verses 14 through 16, Jesus tells us clearly that the things that the Psalms say about infants and children and youth are to continue on in the New Covenant era because they are most fully realized once He has come. "And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read?" And then he quotes from Psalm 8. "Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." And similarly, Luke chapter 18, verses 15 and 16, we read, "Now they were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, 'Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God.'" And therefore, these things that the psalmist says about himself and about his relationship with God, even from his infancy, are absolutely true statements that form part of the reality of our faith. This is not just an Old Testament truth. Praise be to God. But it is a New Testament reality. And may it be that every child born into a Christian home can take the words of Psalm 71 or the words of Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10 upon their lips, and from the heart say, this is Psalm 22, 9 and 10, "You are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God." He is a God for all ages, not just for the grown-up and the mature, not just for the smart and the intelligent, not just for the adult and the elderly, but He is the God of infants and children as well. And we do a disservice to our children. And we should be ashamed before God and repent when we falsely teach them anything else. God is a God for all ages because He has sworn to be a God to us and to our children. The explanatory note of these verses in the ESV Study Bible, I have it in your outline because I found it fascinating. The explanatory note of these verses in the ESV Study Bible says, "The Israelites singing this came into the world as members of Abraham's family, the recipients of God's promises. These believers learn here to trace God's work in their lives back to the very beginning of their personal existence, before they were even born. Indeed, they even consider the faith that they articulate now to have begun then, before they could speak it." And that is how we are to understand God's saving relationship to us in the new covenant of grace as well. Children born into covenant homes come into the world as members of the church and the special recipients of God's promises. They are to be taught to trace God's love and grace towards them back to the very beginning of their personal existence, even before they were born. Indeed, they are to consider the faith that they come to articulate later in their lives to actually have begun before they could even speak. That's what Psalm 71 is saying. And what is our response to this? Our response to this should be, well, with man, it is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible.
Let's not put limits on God that He does not put on Himself. Salvation is a supernatural action of God. It is not an intellectual attainment by us. He gives the gift of faith. He causes us to believe. He can, and He does, save His people. And He is even able to give us faith as infants, so that we then grow up in the faith, coming to trust Him more and more for the salvation that He has pledged to us in Jesus Christ. Which then brings us to consider next this morning, and secondly, that He is the God of the old. He is the God of the old. The psalmist in this psalm, though reflecting on God's gracious involvement in our lives, sometimes from even the very youngest ages of our lives, is written by one who is now old. How old is not clear. But he is older now. And we see this in verse 5. Notice in verse 5 where he says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." He praises God for having been his help since his youth, meaning that he is not a youth anymore. "You were when I was a youth, but I'm not that anymore." He praises God for that. Indeed, in verse 9, even more explicit, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." And then look at verses 17 and 18. He says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me." I think it's actually very helpful that we do not know the precise age of the writer. And it's helpful that he writes in such a way that anyone who no longer considers themselves to be a youth could actually sing it and own this truth. And yet there are hints that the one who is writing, this is the important part, there are hints that the one who is writing has experienced a bit of life, so that he can confidently assert that based upon how God has dealt with him in the past, he now has hope for the future. I have another comment in your outline this morning. One commentator has said that the suppliant or the psalmist manifests a serenity often denied to the young. And he notes that his mature statement of trust in the Lord here is the product of a long memory of God's faithfulness and a growing hope in his life-renewing power. And this truth is really and should be to us both humbling and revitalizing. One of the things that I am most thankful for here at Springs Reformed Church is that God has given us both young and old people. It's very dangerous to start looking around and meeting eyes at this point, because people will take offense both ways. I meet people, they find out I'm a pastor, they have a hard time believing that, and then they ask me, "Well, is Springs Reformed, is it a young person's church? Or is it an older person's church?" Which I happily say, can answer, it is neither. It's just the church. It's comprised of both young and old, and this is a huge blessing. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the way a church is supposed to be. to have the very young and to have the very old. We need the testimony of older saints who can tell us that trusting the Lord and giving our whole lives up to Him and His service is worthy of every sacrifice and hardship that we're going to experience along the way. We need the witness of older saints to show us that even in older age, God continues to pour out His blessing and to provide for His people. We need to be around older saints so that we can see that beautiful truth. We can see that beautiful truth in our own midst, that though inevitably we waste away physically, the inner man continues to be renewed day by day. Indeed, we even need to watch older saints pass from this life into the next, so that we can see that God stays faithful to us even on through death itself. That death has been conquered by Christ and we have nothing to fear. And therefore, on the one hand, we are not an old folks church or a Gen X or Y or whatever church. We're not a family integrated church or a church of yuppies and young marrieds. And yet, on the other hand, we are. We are an old folks church. We are a gen whatever church. We are a family church. We are a yuppie church. We are a young marrieds church. Not because we have tried to attract a certain demographic, but because simply we are the church. A church that gathers to worship the one living and true God who is known through Jesus Christ and who is a God for all ages, young and old, and for now and for eternity. And therefore, whether you are young or old, whether you are infant or aged, God is your God. You younger people, I plead with you. Do not wait until you are old to get serious about your relationship with God. Do not wait until you are old to begin to enjoy and live as the great prize of your life the salvation that God offers to you in Jesus Christ. The sooner you begin to walk with Him, the longer and sweeter the road you get to travel with Him. When I became a believer at about 19 years old, my favorite verse, and it still is, comes from Genesis, early in Genesis, and I had only walked with the Lord for about a year at that time. But it was sweet even that first year. But when I read, and Enoch walked with God for 400 years, that just blew my mind. And we have been given eternity to commune and walk with Him. The more you get, the sooner you walk with Him, the sooner you get serious about your relationship with Him, the more you get to experience His love and grace and deliverances in your life. And so I call upon you, young people, give all the other stuff up and follow Him who will never leave you or forsake you. There is no one else on earth that can give you that promise.
and you older folks, I plead with you this morning to keep the faith, to keep walking by faith, to keep showing us that He is faithful, and to keep showing us that a life given to Him is worth all the sacrifices that we will make in this life to follow Him. Your walk and your purpose and the benefit and the gift of you to our church is not over. We are watching you, and we need you to encourage us in our faith. Praise be to God that He is a God for all ages. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you take us before we can even know. You initiate relationship with us, not based upon our ability, but based upon your power and your love and your grace towards sinners. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you that you are a God for all ages. Thank you for a salvation that can apprehend and take hold of even an infant. Father, we pray that you might humble us before you this morning. May we sit quiet before you and learn of your ways, standing in awe at the great salvation you've provided in Jesus Christ, that you would reconcile sinners to yourself, that you would do all the necessary work by your Spirit, changing our hearts, granting us faith and repentance, drawing us to you, calling us out of darkness into light, speaking and declaring that which is not as though it is, even raising the dead to life. Lord, make us reassess our appreciation and our understanding of your supernatural, powerful salvation. And Father, please strengthen each of us from the infant to the elderly in our congregation. May we walk with you and enjoy the fellowship that comes from our union with you through Jesus Christ. May you bless the relationship that we have with you at whatever age we are. May we take it serious and consider it precious and be humbled and thankful for your coming to us and drawing us to yourself. We ask these things in Jesus' name.